following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Hey, welcome back to Cruel Classics for part two of today's Sunday episode. Now, we played a clip of Dan Dratch yesterday doing his DFG impression, but let's hear the real thing and get DFG back in studio with a clip from 2016.
It's Adam Carolla Show 1772, featuring Def Rat Guy, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop. It's DFG in studio. The real DFG.
In horrible music news as well, Lynette and I, who we're not simpatico on everything, but we really are on bad music.
Well, and, you are on Uptown Funk.
And I've always said
bad music.
Yeah, I've always said you and I don't have the same taste. We just have good taste, and we know what bad is. Mm. And she, if there's ever a song, I'll just look at her and go, I know you don't like this song. And she goes, absolutely, that's absolutely right. And we were listening. I was driving to the event last night in Pasadena. I was toggling between the Sirius XM 80s channel and then the First Wave, which is the only chance you'll ever get to hear Lil Elvis Costello or Joe Jackson or something like that, or Graham Parker or something, might be on the First Wave. I was toggling back and forth. Those fucking retards over there played some of the worst music ever on the First Wave. Mm. That's not First Wave, New Wave music. It drives me nuts. And I've always said, I think I've come up with a plan for those Sirius XM assholes. Is you can't be playing a horrific 80s song on your 80s channel and then a horrific 80s song on your First Wave. It can't be two in a row.
I need to balance it out.
You have to have one decent song in there,
salty and sweet at all times.
Yes, what was playing on. Was playing on the 80s channel, I think, was... Oh, I think it was First Wave. Sorry. First Wave at about 7:41 last night was playing the Soft Cell. Where Did Our Love... What a...
Tainted Love.
That... It's such a pile of steaming hippo flop. And also, it does the thing that almost... It's like... It's my passion from Rod Stewart.
Oh, break it down.
Horrible songs that were way too long at 2:41, never ending. Like, if you listen to the end of Passion, like, even the president, he's Passion. You and me, Rod, the song sucked 10 seconds in. Now we're at 5 minutes and 21 seconds, and we end. Yeah. End. So, I was listening to this. I was getting in a bad mood before I was going to do my comedy.
Just what you want for the kids' fundraiser.
So, I flipped over to the... I flipped over to the 80s station, and they're playing this Phil Collins song. And Phil gets a lot of crap, and deservedly so. But it's not his fault. It's the fault of program directors who are bought off with mounds of cocaine. All Phil. So I explained it. I was explaining
it. It was the salad days, peeps.
I said to Lynette, I said, first off, Phil's allowed to make shitty art. It's their fault for playing it.
Someone say he's encouraged.
I said, you know what this song sounds like? We'll just listen to it for a sec. Well, you can tell everyone I'm a darn disgrace. Drag my name all over the place. I don't care anymore. And it just never ends. It's just boom, 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 don't. And then when you get to the end, if you jump to like the last minute, it's like, I don't care. No more. No, it's another one of those like, yeah, Phil, guess who else doesn't care? All the people you're punishing.
Oh, that's right, this crazy guitar. And...
No more. No more. No more. I was like, I was going to drive into an oak tree. And then I was like, no more. No more. I said, you know, Lynette, you know what this is? This is Phil Collins got into an argument with his wife and with the session musicians who were supposed to be playing that day, and they all stormed out. He went, F you, I'm laying down a song anywhere, I'm doing it anyway, and I'm just going to get on this drum kit, and I'll just go hit record myself, and I'll just keep banging. No more. I don't care. Like, he was yelling at him through a wall.
Argument.
Like,
I mean, arguments.
Why do you play this on the radio? No more! And he's saying it himself!
The irony of yelling no more, no more over and over again for the last 40 seconds of the song.
It never ends.
He's daring you not to like it.
And I do this with Lynette all the time, and I do it with everyone, and she'll go, I don't like this song. And I go, it's not a song. It's not a song. It's a guy banging on the drums saying the same thing over and over again. I have no idea why the hell some of these Phil Collins songs came up. But you asswipes over at SiriusXM, please work out your set list a little so I don't get caught between Soft Cell and Phil doing a hard, fucking hard sell over there trying to get everyone to clear the studio.
Phil makes quite a number of appearances on the old Tool Tunes playlist, and this one's not even good enough. Like, that's just a bad song that I can't.
It's not enjoyable. It's nothing. It's not a song. It's just bum-bum, bum-bum.
It would have been really great if the music director at Dodger Stadium had used that to intro Hideo Nomo when he was taking the play. That would have made perfect sense.
All would have been forgiven. Sweet. Yeah. Do we have my XTC song? On a happy note, I was driving.
Back over?
I was driving over to pick up my barbecue with my kids in the car. My son, who's big into Pearl Jam.
Ooh.
And I said, you can start it up. My son's in the back seat. And I said, Sonny, you're going to like this one. And he said, so far I'm not feeling it. And I said, I know. But it's going to kick in. And I think you're going to like this one.
I'm with Sonny so far.
Yeah. And XTC, I don't know, underrated. I don't know what to call them, but a very interesting band. So he's like, I'm still not feeling it, Dad. And I said, I know, but it's gonna kick in. Kick it in.
And all the world is football shaped. It's just for me to kick in space. And I can see his melt of states. And I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 senses would be
overtime.
Yeah, I love this song. It's got a lot of layers, a lot of flaky, croissant-y, buttery layers to it.
What year is this approximately? Early 80s?
I would guess early 80s. God forbid the first wave ass wipes. I think I heard this on the 80s channel, but you can jump ahead to the last minute when it kicks in. And this is what I like in a song, by the way. 1982.
It's like the era where there's a lot of bridge bands who were clearly influenced by the Beatles.
Yep.
The whole era.
And then my son was like, oh, I do like this song. And I was like, started asking me what senses working overtime were, and I was trying to explain to him that not all songs make
literal sense.
Literal, yeah.
You tell him not to get too excited about the football reference because it's a soccer ball.
Yeah.
Dad, the world's not shaped like
I don't know if XTC was English or not. They sound like it, but we got to figure it out.
Unless they're punk.
Go back 2 minutes. I just want to hear the middle part, Dawson. I just like the part where this song kicks in.
Oh.
Let's see. Oh, they are English, man. You're right. The part I love on this song. All right, we got to turn it up a little. Making Plans for Nigel with one of our heads. Mayor of Simpleton. I think the Mayor of Simpleton was the song of that. Love this part. Felt good. And I got Sonny into XTC, so there you go. Yeah, one of the, I think the lead singer Partridge is his name. I think he's Danny Partridge for some reason, but he has, he's like agoraphobic or something.
So that is the greatest story I have ever heard.
They couldn't go out and perform or some version of that. All right, we got calls. We got Def Rat Guy. Why don't you go get the Def Rat Guy, Gary? DFG, Def Rat Guy's here.
Hell yeah.
Def Rat Guy, I'm trying to, Brian, you can help me get people, I don't know, caught up on the Def Rat Guy. We met him many years ago.
Jeez, back in the radio days.
Seventh year senior at SC, right?
At the time, yeah. He's probably on to bigger and better things by now.
It's been a long time since this studio has seen much shadow.
That's right. Now, as you can probably tell, he's hearing impaired, but it's not going to slow him down.
If anything, it's accelerated his
He was a Delta Fu chapter. Well,
he was a Teak, and he started his own chapter, Delta Fu Gamma.
Right, yep. Right. And then there's Blake Chambers. What was he?
Oh, he's an SAE.
He was an SAE?
SIGEP, one or the other.
I can't even say it because they put a gag order on me.
Oh, really? You can't say anything bad about
it? I don't give a crap. He was a Teak.
He was a Teak. Blake Chambers was a Teak.
I don't care anymore.
Oh, but he was your arch nemesis. And then there was Ashley. Well, there were two Ashleys.
Yeah, there was one who I was very close to. Mm-hmm. The one that back then having a shaved pie was very rare.
Right. So that was there was Ashley with the shaved bush, and then there was
the tri-delt.
The tri-delt. There was Ashley the tri-delt, and then one with the shaved bush.
That's how you told them apart.
And then
you guys would tell them apart.
You had a douche bagel, right? A moose.
Yeah, Mike F and Mike L.
Poochie, of course.
Poochie, yeah.
Poochie killed it, dude, in the movie The Big Short. His firm was featured in that.
Wow.
That was Poochie's uncle's firm?
No, Poochie.
Poochie's firm?
Poochie went to Wall Street. Everybody knew he was going to kill it.
So he did.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a finance guy.
Yeah, but, you know, he's a really good dude. Poochie, the thing you have to know about him, looks exactly like Derek Jeter the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
But he's only like 5'1".
So it's like a really short Derek Jeter.
Yeah, but the dude gets more freaking strange tail than an Edgar Allan Poe anthology, bro.
A lot of strange tail.
It's
more of a hominid because he wrote tails, you know.
Right, tails.
He gets a lot of tail.
Yeah, no, I get
tail.
You. I get you. So he's
a really good dude. He was my big brother.
Yeah, okay. And then his uncle is still doing all right?
Yeah, Poochie's uncle is, you know, he was he basically got his ass kicked in a Donald Trump rally.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
What happened?
He came out with, like, long sleeves, and he had short little doll hands.
Mm-hmm. Making a joke. Yeah.
But they beat the
you can say it, yeah.
They beat the crap out of him, bro.
Uh-huh.
He said last night, he texted us, he said, finally he has stopped pissing blood.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Sounds dangerous.
I don't, that's the thing, I don't think those Trump supporters got a great sense of humor.
No.
They're more sort of literalist. Yeah.
He was doing it to make a point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because he converted to a Muslim.
Oh.
Poochie's uncle?
Yeah, he said he's never been happier in his life now.
Really?
Yeah, he said his life really simple now that he just has to do Sharia.
Well, you have to do Sharia? I mean, I don't know how it goes. There's Sharia law, right? So he just does Sharia?
He does the thing, you know, it's like... dude, we have to go to the club. He's like, not so fast. I have to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But then he goes to the club?
Yeah, he does. You know, he'll have a mocktail.
Oh, I see. Not a real cocktail. All right, so DFG is here because he's plugging an event. It's a Mangria bar crawl. Couple of tickets left. I was told by Lynette as I was leaving the house.
Seats are still available. It starts at the R&R in Scottsdale, Arizona at 6 p.m.
Yeah, it does. And that's Friday. That's this Friday in Phoenix.
Friday. Go to the mangriabarcrawl.com for tickets. Dude, I'm freaking exhausted from promoting this.
No,
I'll the heavy lifting.
I'll do some of it now. Lynette's going to be there. Dr. Bruce, Nick, intern Nick, former intern Nick, DFG, of course,
March 11th.
Jay Miller, former assistant Jay. Chris Max Pat and his band performing. Everyone loves Max Pat and his band. So good time for one and all. That'll be coming up this Friday. And the website, deaffratguy.com, is where you go. MangriaBarCrawl.com is where you go. Tickets going fast. Can we do a little JV or all balls?
Can I clear the air first?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
People, you know, it had been a long time. Mm-hmm. People going, what is up with you with the ACS? Why mm-hmm. you haven't been on the show? Mm-hmm. Are you on probation?
Mm-hmm.
I want to clear something up. Dude, between you and me, straight on. Known you for a long time.
Yeah.
I did not tag Lynette.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow. That's what people are saying.
Well, people are saying that.
I didn't do it that I remember.
Well, you do black out when you drink. Out.
Did yeah. I? Not to my, I wouldn't do that to you.
Right, but not,
people think that's why I haven't been on this show. I want to tell them, not true to my knowledge.
To your knowledge. All right. Well, that's it. Like, again, you're going off to a bar crawl in Phoenix. So
oh, that's
I, obviously,
news.
I trust, well,
that's
obviously,
keg right
obviously
there, man.
I trust him.
We have 6 hours on the tour bus to hash it out. Did it happen or not?
This is, I gotta be honest, this is not a very strong denial. Not to my knowledge.
I don't recall.
Yeah.
One of my pickup lines is, did we bone? It worked a lot. But I don't know, because I like to party. Right now, I have an 8-beer buzz.
Oh, 8-beer buzz.
At the moment.
Right.
But DFG, Adam's your bro.
I know. I would never do that to a bro.
All right.
All right. We'll play JV or All Balls in 1 second. First, Christina, 41, Portland.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, first of all, there's I'm in a group on Facebook of fans of the show, and there's like 40 of us going to the Portland show.
Oh,
good.
And there's people from like Texas, California, Washington, Utah that are all flying in to go to that show.
Nice.
And I'll like do it together. So just wanted to let you know you're going to have a lot of super fans there.
Well, I will cool. I will let you know that when the show's over, we will come out and hang out with said super fans, as we always do. So thanks, Christina.
Perfect. Sure.
Go right ahead.
So they'll make fun of me for this question, but I want to know why you haven't added a cat into your mix. Since Philly Cheesesteak is young, you should get a young cat. They know you like cats, and
yeah.
That probably makes sure.
You do speak highly of cats.
I love cats. I grew up with cats because cats were free, basically. Yeah. Anything that was free and took care of itself yeah. and didn't need baths,
minimal
or you'd have to clean up after them, or like they buried their own poo and everything like that, and they literally like, just came over from next door and started living at our house.
I have to say, though, it does, in this studio right now, I've been here, but it's been a while, it does smell a little bit like cat or BO.
Interesting.
Mm. Wow, it's a little hot. I haven't showered in a couple months.
Couple months.
What is that
the
smell?
Cat, I think.
You might be onto something.
I think that my nanny, Olga, is allergic to cats.
Mm.
That's what I think, because I think it's come up a few times. I like cats. I've always liked cats. And Philly Cheesesteak, whatever. Phil is, by the way, like 80 pounds already.
He's a big dog, massive.
Man. He's massive. He pulls harder and shit, and he's nuts. We took him for a walk today, and there's a couple of dogs. They're sort of Great Daney that go nuts. They come charging up to the fence, and they come up, and they're barking, and they're growling. They're showing their teeth. They're going everything. And Phil is pulling as hard as he can to get to them. And I let him get a little bit closer, and they're like, rawr, rawr, and they're huge and everything. And he's looking at him, and he's getting down, and he's looking at his tail's wagging. He gives one a big lick across the face, and then, literally hops up in the air and does a barrel roll and lands on his side and then flies back up to his feet again. It's like all over the place.
He wants to play.
These dogs are going nuts on him, and he just runs right up to him and just lick him
awesome.
Right in the face. And he's got this huge floppy tongue that hangs out, and he's just running. He's like a mental patient, just running all over the place. I think he would probably lick this cat to death, or yeah. it'd be like one of those, he would love the cat, but it'd be like the mom who did the rollover thing, you know, the fat mama who likes to drink.
Oh, yeah.
I put my baby on the bed next to me, we were watching Nancy Grace together, and somehow I just passed out, and I woke up, and they were, yeah, you were on top of them, Fatty. Yeah. By the way, I've seen this happen twice, by the way, to one woman. At a certain point, go ahead and internalize.
Look in the mirror. Long
yeah, get a I know you all don't fit in the mirror, but the parts of you that fit in the mirror.
Two mirrors, put them next to each other.
That's right.
But would you consider getting...
the right cat, though.
Yeah, but what about like a frozen turkey hairless cat?
Well, then the cat that looks like it was burned horribly in the industrial fire. I don't like that. I like the stroking the cat, not the weird cat that's covered with foreskins.
Mr. Buggleworth.
Yeah.
They get to higher ground when they're in danger. So you'll have a cat on top of your fridge, but if you got the right one, they would possibly get along.
Yeah, well, as it turned out, I walked back into my office after... after doing this event last night, all night, and we left Phil in the house, and how'd he do? He did great, and blah, blah, blah. And then I walked in my office, and there's a huge Duke just sitting in there. I did a thing that was sort of mean.
You read your latest script? But everyone's a critic.
Shouldn't have left it out. He, I had this moment.
It's the first draft, Phil.
Had this sort of angry moment where I was tired from all the weekend's activities, and then I went in and had to clean up Phil's huge Duke that was in my den, and then I had to go wipe it down, and then at some point I was spraying it with the anti whatever spraying down on my knees, still in my suit, cleaning the thing off, and I found myself looking up, and my wife was standing on one side and Olga was standing on the other side, and they're both sort of looking, and they were going, so it was right here. And I said, yeah. And I was like, I'm wiping. And then, it smells bad in here. I said, yeah, it does smell bad in here. Yeah. I don't know. And at a certain point, I just went, could you guys go do something? Just like, the only thing that's making this worse is
being supervised.
I'm in a suit on my knees, wiping this thing. You're both standing above me having this conversation. Like, I don't know. There's something else to do. Go do it. I'm angry. You were exacerbating the situation. I'll tell you what I did do, which was a smart move. When I bought this dog, day three, I bought a big pile of styrofoam paper plates, like the 50 pack of styrofoam paper plates. And I literally just cut them directly in half, just right in half. And I made myself a straight edge scooper.
Oh, nice. Good idea.
Yes, because you don't realize there ain't no good way to get at what's on that floor unless you have the two whatever. And did the thing where I was so disgusted where I just launched everything into the backyard.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
It's mulch.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Wait a minute. So, see you in Portland, Christina, but I think the cat thing is off the table for now. Yes.
Casa JV.
Cats or JV?
They are?
There you go.
I'm kind of with you, DFG.
How dare you?
Pile through. I just want to get these guys off the phone because I've been on hold for an hour. Joe, 26, St. Louis.
Oh, speaking of live shows.
Ace Man.
Yeah, we're coming up to St. Louis. March 26th. Yeah. Pageant Theater.
I got to work that night. I live right down the street from there. But I'm working full-time as a butcher. That's my day job. But since October, I got a part-time job working the soundboard at AM radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a few opportunities coming up at the station. I'm going to be filling in during the day. And the station I work for, you can kind of jump in and get on the mic with the host and stuff. I just don't want to overstep my boundaries.
Look, I want to tell people who are trying to chase their elusive dream this. A lot of people's dream is to be in radio because it's a great gig if you really just break it down. I mean, especially when the guys, I would work 10, I had a 10 o'clock shift at night, which is a little tough because I was shooting the man show and all the other stuff like during the day. There are a lot of early call times and blah, blah, blah. We traveled to New York. I'd go do Stern, sit in Artie's chair from 6 a.m. But with the time difference, we'd be doing Loveline from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. and then walking back to the hotel. And it's like, I wouldn't even bother going to bed. But boy, when I hear about those dudes who get that shift, like I work 4 p.m. to 7. It's like, do you ever set your alarm? Do you ever miss a fight? Do you ever miss an event? You miss nothing. Yeah. You're off at 7.
I do afternoon drive.
There is no anything you can ever miss. And there's not a day where you can't sleep in and see a matinee. Yeah.
Catch the flight out of town at the end of the day.
Right. It's a great, you don't miss your flight. Yeah, the thing about Loveline is we would do Loveline. If we're going to New York, it was car pick you up at 5:30 a.m. the following day. There was no flights that took off and nothing you would take, obviously, before it. And radio, like many jobs, and look, a handful of jobs, actually, require certificates and advanced degrees and things of that nature. But most jobs, walk in, just walk in. Everybody I know in radio just showed up. Yeah. Everybody. It's like you're producing the whatever show. Yeah. What were you doing? I was driving the van. And now what? Now I'm producing the morning show. Like, at least that's how K-Rock worked.
Yeah.
Every single person just showed up.
And Gina and probably Dawson can attest to this. The people that I saw that... Everyone at the radio station is a fucking weirdo. But there's a handful of people that you wanted to be around and wanted to work with. And if you just, Joe, just spend a couple months establishing that you're not a weirdo, people will want to work with you and want you to, like, board off their shifts and things like that.
Get him in touch with Jack Silver.
Yeah. Oh, you are? Yeah, I'll put you in touch. Yeah, it's the key.
No, thanks.
Well, also...
What size is your rack?
What you don't realize is that the guys that are on the air who have to fill 3 or 4 hours a day are dying for anybody. Again, you go on Jimmy's show, you go on The Tonight Show, you go on any of those shows and knock it out of the ballpark. And you're local, you'll be on a very short list of somebody drops out, we'll always go to, because they need you. They want you. So they're
right.
It's not like you're wrestling for mic time. They want you to come in and do that bit, do that character, do that whatever.
Fill on some time,
on their show. So you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I can offer one other little possible piece of advice. I don't know what the format is, but if there's one thing, like there's a joke or a funny bit that you can do and ask if maybe, hey, every couple of weeks, you want me to come in and do this little featured segment? That'll really get your foot in the door too. And that won't feel like you're constantly trying to grab the mic from the other dude. It's something that you can do as a spotlight every once in a while, and he'll appreciate that.
All right. Paul Phoenix, you going to the bar crawl?
Absolutely. DFG, I'll see you there. Or...
Yeah, hopefully. DFG will be there. Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah!
I know you're spinning. We all know you're spinning a lot of plates, Adam. And
yes,
I know you'll probably talk in more detail on your Ace on the House podcast. But how much hands-on work will you be doing on the house that you're working on? And how far along are you?
I'm working on right now full kitchen remod. I'm about to get into in a full backyard swimming pool scene. And then the envelope house, I got to tear the old structure down first and get into it. And I was just there taking a walk through the neighborhood. I took a long walk today with the kids and the dog and everyone else and just went to the house and stood up on the roof. And the kids,
is that,
like,
a thing now?
Kids climb up on the roof.
Yeah,
well, if you can get to it and then sort of see where things are. Natalia likes to run on the roof.
Of course.
Roller skate.
Sunny walks on the roof like an elderly person walks during an earthquake. Like, just hands as wide as they can get. Everything's slow, like half crouched, you know. Like, looks like an old person walking on the deck of a ship that's in rough seas. That's how he walks. He'll literally scooch along the roof. And
sets up a rope. A rope system.
She'll go chugging along the top of the ridge. But, we got to tear it down and get into the whole envelope house and everything. And I'll keep everyone posted. Right now, I'm spinning a lot of plates and trying to figure it out. But thank you.
You should get Sonny a potato gun.
From the roof, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For the roof.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Natalia would probably like that more. Sonny would probably not be ready for it. Ira, 45.
Hey, Ed.
What's going on?
How you doing?
Good.
Not a lot, man. I just have a hard-hitting question, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was in the shower. I know. In the shower, thinking about you the other day.
Thank you.
Wow.
Well, you know, not in that way, of course. But we have a lot of similarities. Our lives practically mirror each other in many ways. I have 10-year-old twins. You have 9-year-old twins.
What's your question, Ian?
It's Ira, I think.
Let's play some games.
Yeah.
And no. I know. JV or all balls.
All right. Listen. It's funny. It's a weird.
He's trying.
There's a weird human instinct, which is when you try to move people along, they
dig in.
They dig it in.
Resist. Yeah.
It's a weird. Like, I had the thing last night where the drunken people had to come over and say hi.
Sure.
You know, and it was just sort of this one point where I don't know how you do it, but like they come up to you and they go, "Hey, man. hey, used to listen to you do Mr. Bertram back in the day on K-Rock. I hear you call into Kevin and Bean once in a while, but also when I hear other characters calling in, sometimes I think you're doing one of those characters. Are you doing one of those characters? No, I'm not. I call in as me, you know, Adam Carolla, but I don't do any characters, so that wouldn't be me. So that's not you? No, it's I just call in as me. You're not doing any characters at all? No, I'm just, it's just me. I call in as me, you know, maybe every other week or something like that. But as far as the characters, I don't know who's doing those voices. So nothing at all with the characters. Oh, and I at a certain point, we did 17 laughs, and I just went, I don't know how else to answer this question. I started just looking the other direction and going, like, I realized the guy had a buzz on, and he wanted to be chatty, but it's I don't know how. I said to him, like, I cannot, as previously stated, no, and I cannot answer this. I do not know any more ways to answer this question that you've managed to come at me with now 13 times. But it's weird, like, when you say to people, like, I've done it in interviews where I've gone, like, hey, listen, I'm sorry, but I'm pulling up to this set of Catch a Contract, man. I really got to wrap this up. I know. Everybody asks you questions, and I know about your time. It's like, oh, last question. Just ask the last question, please. Yep, what is
you're
that?
On the clock.
Weird. I know everybody, maybe it's this. When you're a kid and as an adult, I could remember having a loose tooth as a kid, and it kind of hurt, and you'd have to keep flicking it with your tongue. Are we doing a sort of conversational version of this where you'd like say to someone, look, I need to wrap this up. I need to, okay, hold on.
I know.
Before we let you go. Why not just sort of hear what the person's doing or see them leaning toward the front door?
The
whatever.
Shot clock is expiring.
Whatever it is, what is that?
I think it's just simply that it's not what that person wants. They're confirming, I know you got to go, but I still have things to say.
I think I think it's a. There are two things that happen for people that are scared to do public speaking. They're very nervous. Mm-hmm. So what happens? Well, they get dry mouth, and they start sweating about their forehead. Mm-hmm. The two things you really don't want to do when you're public speaking is have a bone dry mouth and a super wet
flop sweat
brow.
The irony is the moisture is just a few inches away.
Why couldn't God have created us so that I get extra saliva and bone dry on the forehead?
A nice matte finish.
And armpits. No, I'm pitting out and I can't feel my tongue because it's cleaving to the roof of my mouth. Mm-hmm. Why are we wired that way? I don't know, but I think there's a kind of a wiring, which is when you tell someone, hey, we're running short, they go, oh, I got to go the opposite way.
Okay. What's the over-under on if you go right back to Ira, the first thing he does is ask his question?
Ira, 45, Texas.
While in the shower, I realized...
All right.
That was perfect. That guy's a genius. I'm sorry.
Love you, Ira.
Ira's the best.
All right. Should we do... JV are all balls?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
And now, Mangria presents the Deaf Frat Guy and JV or all balls.
Mangria! He calls from the frat house onto the show, the Deaf Frat Guy hearing impaired bro. He's hammered all day long with Poochie Moose and Mike F.
Mike F.
They chug some fruits, shoot potato guns, and then play cookie cooking. If something's pushing, he'll make the call. So now it's time for JV Oro Balls.
Hell yeah.
All right. Oh, JV or all balls?
The song's over.
Hell yeah. Dude, what about koi?
Koi.
Like the fish?
Koi fish?
Yeah.
Like swimming in a Japanese restaurant or something like that?
Exactly.
Wow, that's tough.
They're
big old goldfish.
They're impressive. They're physically impressive.
Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, but they don't do that much.
And can you eat a koi? Is there ever koi on the menu?
I don't think you can eat them. And then you do have this thing where if you do the koi pond in your backyard, someone will explain to you that owls will come in at night or... or raccoons or something. Aww. Like you got to build a weird thing around them.
Some canopy or something.
And then if you see them indoor, like at a restaurant or a mall, you feel kind of bad for them.
Yeah. But they're pretty majestic.
They're pretty beautiful. Yeah.
I'm going to go, boy, that's a, woo, that's wow. why you're the DFG. I'm going to go all balls.
Yeah, me too. Every time I see a call, I'm happy. All balls.
It makes me feel like I'm in a fancy place.
Well, you all, so, but here's the deal. You've never seen a koi in a bad place. I'm like, they took me, not to prison, but they have a detention center that's in San Bernardino. Anyway, they have a koi pond. It was pretty awesome.
A koi moat.
But it's just me and some gangbangers, and we're in a, what they call a holding facility until I was there for 2 days. But the koi.
But that's another reason to like koi. I guess. It's always around
it's
a good
only
place.
I'm a Michelin about star. To drink a giant Sapporo. Yeah. Well,
Benihana's.
Right.
All balls.
Dude, they're nasty.
Are they?
Oh.
Wow, I didn't know they're mean.
They're like giant goldfish. Have you ever chugged a goldfish? It's nasty.
It's
like your fish or you burp it up days later.
Oh, really?
So you can only imagine.
And they're like turkeys, dude, in the water. They're on the surface. They're looking at you.
Mm. Have you ever tried to chug a koi?
No, because they're so big.
Yeah, but they look at you.
But they look at you, and sometimes I'm just like, I wanted this girl. I could freaking wipe all of you out right now. But I don't want to because I wouldn't want them to do that to me.
Right. I get you. I usually just walk to my table and don't think that much about what
they're the koi.
You know. Occasionally throw some pellets at them, you know, to feed them. But
yeah, but I never
just pass by.
Never really think about their agenda.
Admire the beauty.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're over on that one.
All right. Beating your meat outside up in a tree during a severe lightning storm.
Now, this seems obvious.
But also, what about the confused neighbors? Like, God, this guy loves lightning.
And trees.
Got electrical storm.
And himself.
But if this is something that you lived through, would you tell anyone that this is something you did?
Oh, like a badge of honor or something.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah,
that changes my answer.
I think you're it's dangerous. I'm going to go JV.
Fuck. The risk of death obviously could be JV, but just the badge of honor of having done it. I got to say all balls.
I think it is quite literally all balls.
It's all balls.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, it's JV that Mike R died from it.
Oh.
Mike R?
Did my friend die?
Yeah.
Well, the thing, I like the fact that, hey, I can never figure this out. There's Douche Bagel, and there's Moose, and there's Poochie, and then there's all the guys named Mike. They just put the last initial.
The priest at the funeral wasn't like, he died being in his meat in a tree. It was unfortunate.
Right.
He said that, like, God acts weird in ways that you can't ever imagine.
Right.
God,
right.
That's weird.
But you know the full story? I mean, you know this is...
Yeah, he was up in there. He loved it. He had a tattoo of him freaking beating his meat in a tree.
Oh, so he'd done it before?
Yeah, with lightning. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was his thing.
He said you would, like... He said, he bust a nut big time.
Oh.
When...
He said it was like...
Wait, he said or they said?
He said it was like... He didn't even care about ladies anymore. He just wanted... He would just watch the Weather Channel.
Lady Nature.
Oh, so he timed it for lightning storms.
He moved to Oklahoma.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a man who's committed to a passion.
Why are you moving to Oklahoma? Why are you wearing that? Like, he had that raincoat, the Weather Channel raincoat.
The gear.
Because he was always watching the Weather Channel. He needed a raincoat.
Right. Jesus. So he's like a storm chaser.
Yeah, but you know what? You got to ask yourself, when that lightning strikes you, you know it's all over. You got to look yourself in the eye. Was that not worth it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it worth it for a nut?
Yeah, no, I get it. Well, he's going to miss. That's Mike. Was that Mike P?
R.
Mike R. Sorry. Yeah. All right.
So,
all right.
What's the next one? JV?
No, that was
all balls.
Was
balls.
Okay, just
all
making
balls.
Sure.
All balls. Right. What about... Okay, I'm going to tell you that I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming out with maybe a new line of tequila.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of the worm, I want to put a mini cobra, a little baby.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get the thing to flare out so it doesn't look like a cobra.
Oh, you mean when it's in the bottle?
Yeah.
When it's like floating in the bottle.
Do I?
You guys ever have mezcal tequila? Yeah.
No.
Yes. No. Mezcal's delicious. Smoky.
I think so.
Did you eat the worm?
Did not eat the worm. Too afraid.
I remember tasting weird when I was younger.
Sure did.
Mezcal. I don't remember tasting like Cuervo Gold or something like that.
Tastes different.
Is that specifically the one with the worm in it?
Yeah, I think mezcal's the one with the worm.
Okay.
And, I'm surprised that you haven't. I mean, I'm not surprised. Okay. But ladies, back in the day, they'd eat the worm. You find them dead on the gear shift 2 hours later.
Oh, really? Made them that horny?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have been missing out.
I want to bring it back.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's not
is that
cost
a true story?
I think, yeah, hell yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
But it's not cost effective to use the worms. Been there, done that. Everybody's done that.
Right, right.
But the mini cobra.
Bad
at,
what a mini cobra.
How are you going to get that past PETA?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How are you? So I was thinking plastic. And now they're
cobra
on my ass for plastic, BPA.
Could cause problems.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So
is it a JV idea? I don't know.
Oh, JV or old balls idea. Okay.
The plastic cobra?
Well, or the real one.
Oh.
But it has to look badass.
I say the idea is old balls.
Hell yeah.
I don't see any drawback to this. That's pretty badass.
And here's the name of it. Cobra.
I was with you until then.
That's it for the tequila? They have a malt liquor called Cobra.
They do?
It's King Cobra.
Yeah.
No, this is just Cobra.
Oh, just Cobra.
Oh, no.
I mean, like the Stallone movie.
I know that. That's in my marketing plan. This is Cobra with a K.
Cobra.
And maybe two B's or some shit. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't. Yeah. Right. Hell yeah.
All right.
So, Gene, all balls are JV.
This is pretty JV. No offense. I'm just trying to help.
You wouldn't do it?
I personally, no. With a comedy K, no. JV.
All right. Dad. What happened, dude?
Well, JV are all balls.
JV. No, now it's JV. It was all balls until about 10 seconds
Sorry.
Ago.
Okay,
hell
so
yeah.
It's all balls. As Brian, I'm going to declare Brian the winner of JV or all balls.
Yeah.
You are the winner, yeah.
Woo!
2 points.
You got two
that
points?
Was JV or all balls.
I did get two prep.
Def Rat Guy.
All right, Def Rat Guy, hang in. We'll do a little bit of news.
Give the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Showbiz, Congress, tech news, sports news, world news. Give me news with Gina Grad. Weird shit out of Florida. Sex surveys, Obama. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, so much happened over the weekend. We will see how much we can get to. But first, CNN reports that former First Lady Nancy Reagan, who joined her husband on a storybook journey from Hollywood to the White House, has died. She died Sunday. She was 94. Reagan died at her home in L.A. of congestive heart failure, according to the spokeswoman. A statement says she'll be buried at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley next to her husband, Ronald Wilson Reagan, who died on June 5th, 2004.
She weighed 91 pounds when she was alive and robust.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of like what her frame would be like.
Petite.
She
frail.
She invented say no to drugs.
Just say no.
Yeah. Brian and I are very familiar with that campaign.
I just said no. Now.
I'm sure, God bless her, her heart was in the right place. But boy, I don't think there could be not since Click It or Ticket has there been a less effective campaign.
Oh, Click It or Ticket is wildly effective compared to that. Compared to Just Say No, it's quaintly naive as how
it doesn't address whatever the underlying problems are. And I'm just saying Click It or Ticket does nothing because nobody passed the sign and went, oh, I don't have my seatbelt on because there was a gong going off in the car with the light flashing or whatever, or you're committed to it. So this has, okay, so Click It or Ticket, the campaign we have out here because we're retarded, has zero effect.
Right.
Just Say No
just say
probably
no.
Reminded a handful of Americans to do drugs, so there was a negative effect. There has to be, look, if you're going to see commercials, what if they did a commercial that said this? You know, they'd go, look, this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. Like, there's a certain amount of, who are just sitting around going, "Oh yeah, I've been. It's been like a fortnight since I've been high. Now like I gotta get high. I gotta get high now and eat an omelet." What if DFG, Brian and Gina? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What if there was a campaign to tell people to stop masturbating?
Okay.
How many more people would be reminded? Like, oh, you're just sitting around at 8:30 at night, and a guy comes on and he's explaining to you, you should not masturbate. Yeah. Hi, I'm Eric Estrada. Yeah. Or, you know, we get somebody who's available.
Sure.
Who'll talk about why.
Or not beat off in a tree during a
storm. Right,
right. Yeah, don't do that. Yeah.
I argue that it will remind more people to beat off. 100%. So whenever you do a commercial, even when you do, like, even when they do the, hey, you should know it's Tuesday, it's National Smokeout Day, nobody smokes, that X amount of people go, oh, I'm... Smoke cigarettes. Yeah. I'm gonna have a cigarette. They just hear the word.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That was always the argument against starting sex ed too early. Was like, are we telling these kids things they're not? Well, introducing them to things they're not going to know about for years.
And Brian, I don't know if you remember this, but all I know is when I was in grade school and this whole just say no thing was happening, I was also convinced for a good 5 minutes that smoking weed would lead to you jumping out a window, which is what every after school special told us.
And then you rebel back later on. Anyway, she's going to be messy.
Yep. All right, Conor McGregor suffered his first UFC defeat and only the third in his career on a night of shocks at UFC 196.
Not only was I hosting this gala last night and missing this great night of UFC fights, but I was doing this move where I recorded SportsCenter and I was going to go home. And at some point at the end of the night, this nice Asian guy came up to me and he just... pulls out his phone and goes, McGregor lost! And I just go, ooh, why did you tell me that? And he goes, oh, sorry, someone just texted me.
He didn't know.
And I was like,
isn't that like an unspoken rule? You don't do that.
It should be. You can't do I mean,
my dad would go insane.
See, you can go, well, if you're here, then you're not into it. But not if you're hosting here.
Yeah.
You still want to go home and find that out. But anyway.
Innocent mistake.
Well, Nate Diaz beat the Irishman by submission in the second round, having been the underdog ahead of the Las Vegas bout. Now, the experts can explain a little better what happened than I can. So here,
Nate Diaz, let me tell you something. He seems like a chill dude, but above all, he's very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh,
all
interesting. Right. Okay.
I was saying to our resident expert, Nick, here, I just said, he's moving up two weight classes, and Diaz has got a good reach, and he's like, he walks around at that weight, doesn't make a difference. And I was like, I don't know, feel like it's making a difference. He's jumping up. Weren't we having this conversation, Nick, and you're sort of explaining to me why jumping up the two or three weight classes wasn't no big deal?
No, I was agreeing with you, but I was saying it wasn't as big of a deal for Nate Diaz Nate Diaz isn't as big of a jump because he's usually 155, not 170 anyways. So it was really only like one jump up, but it ended up being very important.
Did you bet?
Not on those two. On a fight that no one cares about, I did, and I did very well, but those two were just too close to call for me. I thought Holly and Connor would both win, but I just didn't think. They were both like 4-1 and 3-1 favorites, and that just didn't make sense to me.
It's crazy.
I have a question, as long as Nick's on the line real quick, because he knows gambling and UFC and MMA, I should say. He was like a 4-1 underdog or something along those lines.
Yeah, 4-1.
Given the fact that it's not like boxing where a guy's like 45-1, like these guys all have like records where they lose matches, and it seems like these upsets are happening more and more, wouldn't it just be smart to always take the underdog because the odds are so long against them, but it feels like they win more and more now?
You can do that in football in the beginning of the season and make a killing, dude.
Oh.
You bet underdog for all the first two games of the season.
Well, I'm with you. I know you want Nick's advice, but if you took Ronda Rousey's first 13 fights, you'd be out money. You know what I mean? Because she just armbar people in the first 30 seconds. So that was a weird thing. It'd be like betting against Tyson or something, but like when he was prime.
But would you be out money? Because when you hit, it would be at a multiplier of 4 or 5 or 10 to 1.
Well, I don't. I mean, Nick, I think you treat it like any sporting event, and I agree. Look. Back in the day, when the Klitschkos would fight, the Klitschkos would win. Floyd Mayweather fights, he wins. He just does. It's going to happen.
Almost no chance of him losing.
It doesn't. In this, because they wear the 3-ounce gloves or whatever, and anything can happen at any time. Somebody can get a lucky shot off, and yes, I'd be more more toward the underdog, but
yeah, I think over the last couple years, especially if you were betting every single fight and you picked the underdog every time, you'd be ahead at this point. I think a lot of it relies on Vegas isn't trying to pick the winner. They're trying to even out the money on both sides. And the favorite's always the more known person. Like, everybody knew Holly Holm coming in this one, so she was a favorite. Last time, everybody knew Ronda, so she was an enormous favorite.
Right. But it really, it's kind of interesting, and it does screw up things, because now we got to look forward to Ronda Rousey fighting Miesha Tate, who she already beat two times. Mm-hmm. And we don't really want to see that fight. We want to see the Holly Holm rematch.
I think, to be honest, because the UFC always tries to pick, regardless of titles, whatever, they try to pick the fight people want to see. So I actually think that Holly and Ronda will be the next fight. If Ronda can come back soon enough, she says she doesn't want to come back till October. They want her back in July at UFC 200. But that's the fight people want to see. And it's a rare opportunity where they could have a woman's non-title fight that people care about. So they're going to use that opportunity, put Holly against a girl who won on the first fight of the card yesterday, and I think go that way. And it'll probably be an automatic win for Holly, and she'll end up facing the winner of Ronda. Because like you said, no one wants to see Ronda Miesha again.
Now, what's Miesha Tate supposed to do? Because she's not going to want to be sidelined for a year.
I misspoke. I meant Miesha would fight the girl who won on the first card, Amanda Nunes.
Okay. There you go.
Damn, Nick.
Thanks, Nick. Fix that accent.
Yeah. So anyway, two great fights and two big upsets. And yeah. I have to ask you this.
Yeah. I have to. Any of the three ladies we just mentioned, Ronda, Miesha,
Miesha.
Another one, Holly Holm. Mm-hmm. You could kick their ass. Come on.
Oh, no.
Answer the Quentin.
No.
You could.
No. Besides, I wouldn't punch. I can't punch women. I cannot.
But don't you think?
You might have the chance.
I haven't even rolled MMA in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's no lady on the earth that could kick my ass.
Oh, Layla Ali. It's 190 pounds.
Yeah, but I take her to the ground, dude. I lay and pray.
Wow.
All right. You heard it here. Well, the Washington Post reports that Mitt Romney, the 2012 Republican presidential nominee, delivered a sweeping point-by-point indictment of Donald Trump on Thursday at the University of Utah and implored Republicans to reject the businessman's candidacy in an election, quote, that will have profound consequences for the Republican Party and, more importantly, for the country. In our first clip, Romney rattles off a list of Trump's failed business endeavors to show that Trump doesn't always succeed.
His bankruptcies have crushed small businesses and the men and women who work for them. He inherited his business. He didn't create it. And whatever happened to Trump Airlines? How about Trump University? And then there's Trump Magazine and Trump Vodka and Trump Steaks and Trump Mortgage. A business genius he is not.
Jews and the way they talk. A business genius he is not.
He did forget Trump Taco Truck.
That would have been delicious.
I'll tell you. All right. First off, let me just warn Mitt and everyone else out there, John Oliver and Bill Maher and all the folks, everyone goes insane about. Yeah. You don't understand. We are living in a Kardashian era.
Infamous is now famous.
Where you just mentioning the person's name over and over again is enough to get them to the highest spot in the land or the richest in the land with the number one television show.
It's all about mentions.
You're not doing your cause any good by having press conferences about Donald Trump any more than us talking smack about the Kardashians is taking any money out of their pockets or slowing down this Kardashian juggernaut.
It's all just another mention.
We are now in a new zone filled with, you know, let me explain something. They used to have supercars. Supercars were, you know, Ferraris and Lamborghinis that were, you know, 200 grand, 250 grand, and they'd go 0 to 60 in under 5 seconds. Now they have hypercars, which are like McLarens that go to 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds. We're now hyper dumb. We used to just be super dumb.
Yeah.
Now we're hyper dumb. All we have to do is hear a name. I don't care what it is. I don't care what they do, good or bad, and we're down.
Yep. I recognize that name.
So we are in a hyper dumb time, and the more everyone goes off on these diatribes against Trump, the greater, the more power he is like some animal that steals electricity and runs off the power of others.
Off on it.
Others' bad words, mm-hmm. bad vibes get up into the air, and he just sucks them in and gets bigger and stronger. So if you want Trump to go away, you got to stop making, except stop dedicating entire news days to Trump every single day. It makes him more powerful.
Yep.
Also, if there is a silver lining in the whole Trump juggernaut for guys like me who don't really care, I love watching the aforementioned Bill Maher's and John Oliver's go out of their gourd.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I like that.
Because they're funny and entertaining, or because it's fun to watch
them squirm?
No, they're
just watching go nuts. They're just going nuts.
Okay, all right.
It's fun to watch everyone on the left go insane, and a handful of people on the right. It's fun to watch how, like, in a world where you say, I think if you vote, you should have to produce some ID when you vote. Okay, so you're in the Klan? Mm-hmm. Like, in a world where you become a Klan member because you think it'd be a good idea to produce ID, where you have to produce ID everywhere in the world. I know in this country, it'd be nice if people had ID in general, but anyway, you're turning me into a racist for suggesting that. But the stuff Trump does, they're apoplectic. They go insane.
It's raising the bar.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun watch. It's fun watching them pull their hair out and go insane. And I liken it to this. I don't come from the Boston, New England area, and I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm never really was much interested in Boston sports and New England sports at all. But then I started meeting some guys, Kevin Hench, Bill Simmons, guys like that, that were nuts for Celtics and Red Sox and Patriots. They go nuts. They were going nuts and then nuts. And then I started realizing, oh, now I'm getting a certain amount of enjoyment when I see Tyree catch the ball off the top of his head and watch Eli Manning beat your team second. When I see this, when he beat him for the second time and these guys were going insane, I got pleasure out of that. I got a lot of pleasure. And I didn't even need to be in the room. I could just sit there and picture what Kevin Hench was doing when Tyree pinned that ball to the roof of his head. I knew he wanted. I knew he was at home. I knew Bill Simmons. I knew they were going insane. And I found myself enjoying the game that much more, even though one of my teams wasn't even in it. Treat Trump that way. Okay. I think you'll enjoy it.
And the first time that Mitt Romney and John Oliver are fiercely on the same page.
Right.
Which is a little fascinating, too. So meanwhile, he seemed downright hurt, by the way, Romney attacks Trump's unsportsmanlike behavior during his campaign. Now, there's a reason I want to play this one, because it's of what Trump's response is. Play this.
Now, imagine your children and your grandchildren acting the way he does. Would you welcome that? Haven't we seen before what happens when people in prominent positions fail the basic responsibility of honorable conduct? We have. And it always injures our families and our country. Watch, by the way, how he responds to my speech today.
So with that, Trump did seem a little hurt Romney would attack him, and he fired back in a salacious way that proved Romney's point. He said this.
Backed him. You can see how loyal he is. He was begging for my endorsement. I could have said, Mitt, drop to your knees. He would have dropped to his knees.
So bizarre.
Trump's the fucking best.
I'm saying let's enjoy this.
We're in a rare time, people. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. All right, one more.
All right. Well, there is a ton from the GOP, but I think we've covered it. Let's
we can get to a few things tomorrow if you want.
You know what? It'll be old news by then. Let's just do a couple of those. Republican debate. Trump's chief rival Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio continued to pile on Trump in the latest GOP debate that was in Detroit. Trump first responded to Rubio's campaign joke about his small hands by insisting he was well hung, and it devolved from there.
Did you see that, Adam?
Yeah.
It's fucking brilliant.
I love when he's like, I promise you. I get no problems.
Guaranteed.
No.
This is what it's
I also happen to call him a lightweight, okay? And I have said that. So I would like to take that back. He's really not that much of a lightweight. And I have to say this.
He has to.
He hit my hands. Nobody has ever hit my hands. I've never heard of this one. Look at those hands. Are they small hands? And he referred to my hands. If they're small, something else must be small. I guarantee you there's no problem. I guarantee.
All right. Okay.
He's forcing America to picture his penis.
And it's a primary debate.
Wow. Oh, God.
He seems like the kind of D-bag that heckles. You know the guy that heckles dudes in the line in a Bukkake video.
Oh.
Yeah, heckles. You know the heckler.
There's hecklers?
No, I don't.
I don't know.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
And that was DFG in studio back in 2016. And if you haven't listened to his appearance last week when he was in studio, I definitely encourage you to do so. We were crying laughing. He's so good. All right.
Entire week of shows like perfectly blend with these Corolla Classics clips. So if there's anything you missed all week, go back and listen. It'll scratch that itch.
I know. The only thing missing was the Jill Zarin clip. Man, she's so pumped to be back on the show. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get going with one last clip. And this is a listener request from Shane out of Santa Barbara. He says, Gio and Maxie, how about some Greg Proops? Also, let's get him back on the show. He's always a good guest. Shane, I agree. He's an improv master. Highly, highly intelligent. And love whenever he gets to sit in with Adam. So I'll definitely look into it. Thanks for the suggestion. But till then, let's listen to when he was in studio.
Shockingly, we haven't played any Proops. He's been on several times. Great guest. Has a very successful podcast. People know him from Whose Line.
Yep.
It's Adam Carolla Show 1558, Part 2, the second half of yesterday's episode with Joe Coy. Joe Coy sticks around with Greg, and it's all thanks to Shane. Thanks, Shane.
Greg Proops is here, by the way, the smartest book in the world. Available May 5th. Oh, thank
shit.
You.
I want it.
On Amazon. Click through our website.
I'll buy it.
Yeah. Oh, Joe will buy it. He's so much better than all of us. Smartest Man in the World is the podcast. So the book looks great. I'm just flipping through it now. The pages.
It's got done pages, like on cover, whatnot.
But they're like linen.
Oh, they are copy. But can I say something else about Greg's book?
Mm,
sure. Just the smaller font. You know why? Because he writes that much per page.
Wow, with 300 and some odd pages?
Look at that.
Substantial, that's
at least 6,000 words in this guy. This is damn near a Bible.
It's I start at the beginning of Man, and I go up through the Cosby Show, and I end there. I had to pick two random goalposts.
Is that Jesus Christ, dude? I
started with the pools of slime that became animate people, and then I ended with the Huxtables.
Stop eating the cake!
Mm-hmm.
Now, how was it, Ryan? I'm just finishing a book myself, but I don't do all the heavy lifting. Mike Lynch does that. How is it for you to write a book?
It was murder. We talked about this once before, I think like a year ago, because I was in the middle of writing it then. And they keep moving the deadline on you, and of course you keep not finishing the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And who was it? Douglas Adams, who wrote The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, had my favorite line. He said, I love deadlines. It's the whooshing noise they make as they rush past.
Yes.
Because of my bad predilections, it took me a little longer than I think it would have if I hadn't drank so much on the road. But there you are.
Well, listen.
So I'd look at the book. I'd be, you bring the computer with you, and you're like, today I'm going to write. And then the night before, glug. And then you get up the next day, and you're like, you know what? I need spaghetti. I don't.
Yeah, I've found, well, actually, you're looking at what's left to do on on my audiobook.
Yeah.
So I have found, I know I've said this at least a dozen times, but please, everyone, the only way to do something that is insanely time-consuming and miserable, if you're like me, because I look at reading as punishment because I grew up not being able to read, and now it's one of these things that sort of burned into my psyche. Yeah. Like if someone says, read this, I go, oh, fuck, what'd I do wrong?
Back at the workhouse, Corolla.
It's a source of embarrassment. It's hard to get that out of people. Like, you ever have the kid that was fat and picked last for every sport, and then you go, come on, we're going to play softball this weekend. And they go, and the guy's 40, and you go, unless it's cool, guys and chicks playing, we're going to have some beer. And you're like, you're talking to the 9-year-old version of them. That's who I am with reading. Just come in and do an hour every other day and just chip away at it. Don't sit down and do it in one big block. You'll fuck yourself. So how long did it take you to write the book?
Oh, over 2 years. Well, about 18 months, 2 years. And then I did the audiobook. But the audiobook only took like 3 days. That was the easy part.
Because you're a good reader.
Yeah, that's because you're reading it, Greg.
Yeah, it was easier than writing it, yeah. You're right. Joe, good distinction. The writing part was more difficult than the reading part. Joe is absolutely right about that. If you're going to read the book, it'll only take you a while. But if you're going to write the book, it's going to take you a couple of years.
Now, how long was the audiobook?
Oh, golly, I don't know.
It's not been all whacked up yet.
Oh, probably in the next week or two. I read for 3 days, so you know how it is. 100 pages in, you've lost touch with reality. You hate everything you've written. You can't stand the fact that your own voice sounds like a horrible screeching parakeet being thrown into a blender.
I just go off on random jags about stuff that happened earlier that day.
Right, like, in the middle of the book.
Not even in the book.
Yeah.
Abso-fucking-lutely. I just go off on random sidebars from that day. I'm not kidding.
I'm the same way.
That's the way I do it. And I go, look, you guys will get 6 hours of material one way or the other. Might not be all this.
All timely. Why are they all Mayday anyway?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So the book out, again, May 5th. That is coming up. Very good-looking book, substantial. Yeah.
And done
in a way that does not look inexpensive. Mm. Is that part of...
Oh,
you're
no, I of course, was in touch with Simon & Schuster every step of the way. I chose the paper, and no, I don't. It's completely out of your hands once you do stuff. I didn't even understand how when I finished writing it, they go, we need like 5 more pages. And I'm like, I thought we were done with this like months ago. And they're like, well, the pagination didn't come out the way we thought it was going to. And it's like, well, how about make it do that? I'm a comic. If someone says to me, you know, you need to wrap at 40, I don't go like, I got to do 53 because it's the pagination of my jokes that I can't. If I start cutting them,
I have
you're an editor, right?
I have a tip for you.
Yes.
When you go to New York to promote this book, and you will go to New York to promote this book, at some point you will swing by your editor's office. And they will have cases of these things for you to sign. They will need you to sign cases. And they'll just endlessly hand these to you.
Oh, the way they did it for you on the table was brilliant.
Yeah. Gary can find the picture, but this is something that was invented of all people, Sammy Hagar has told me that Sammy Hagar invented this.
Clearly a smart guy.
And they said, we need you to come by and sign about 200 books. And I said, oh, fuck. That's going to take an hour and a half. And they said, no, we got it all set up for you. And I walked into a room.
Wow. No, they don't.
Genius.
We will.
So you run down the side with a pen?
There's a guy chasing you with a torch. And you have to make your mark as fast as you can.
It's the entire outline of a press conference sort of table.
What did Sammy do when he hit the 55th book? Because my understanding is he simply can't sign 55.
The Red Rocker
can't sign 55!
Yeah. Great cover.
That's quietly
one of the most 80s videos maybe ever.
Sure.
Adam, I like the Club Nouveau version of that song.
So you can go to adamcarolla.com and look at this. But this is a board table that is 12 feet wide and 30 feet long.
It's about 60 people.
So I'm going to have to run up and down a table.
And they preset them all open to the page that you want it set to or that they deem it's the appropriate, and you just walk in a circle and sign. Yeah.
Opening and closing books is for squares.
No kidding. Right. Fortunately, my signature is a straight line, and sometimes a parallelogram, so it's just easy for me. I just... I can put it in my teeth and have them carry me over the table.
Again, book out. And what is in the book?
There's ink and words. It's all the junk I talk about on my podcast. So it's music and movies and drugs and vodka and baseball and feminism and, you know, women from history, this and that. So it's all that jazz.
Shall we do a little news with Gina Grad and
have
Joe and Greg hang out, crack-wise? Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Showbiz, Congress, tech news, sports news, world news. Give me news with Gina Grad. Weird shit out of Florida. Sex surveys, Obama. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad. Grad.
Well, among the many Sony emails that WikiLeaks published is an exchange between a Sony exec and an Emmy-winning host debating whether or not they should edit out some information that Ben Affleck did not want publicized on a PBS show. Here's what happened. Affleck participated in a PBS show called Finding Your Roots, which gives various celebrities a look into their ancestry. And when Affleck found that some of his ancestors were slave owners, he demanded they edit that out, even though editing is against the rules in the show. The email warns that, quote, once they open the doors to censorship, they lose control of the brand. But by the time the episode aired in September, there was no mention of Affleck's slave-owning ancestors and instead painted everyone in a very positive light.
That's
now everybody
crazy.
Knows.
Yeah. Well, I've never seen a black guy with the last name Affleck, which is weird. Lots of Washingtons and Jeffersons, not one Affleck.
Interesting.
They dug deep on this one.
This is
I'm
one.
So glad I changed my name from Hitler. You know what I mean? Yeah. When we came over from Germany, we made a couple of good moves.
The Hitlers were nice.
I mean,
at
you
one
know,
time.
They were the life of Bavaria. They really were. You couldn't go over to the strudel. You know what I mean? The minute you walked in.
I think this is one in many cases.
Hey, the Hitlers are coming over for
ding
tea.
Ding dong!
Hey, I brought strudel. Does anyone want strudel?
You will eat it.
This is one of those cases where the cover up is definitely worse than the crime.
Yes, the Streisand effect.
There's a lot. Well, tell us about that.
That's the one where the photographer took pictures of her house and she demanded he take them down for the website, but no one had looked at it. And once she made the whole demand, thousands and thousands of people looked at it. It's like, don't draw attention to the thing you don't want attention drawn to.
Right, but there was the hope that we would never know this.
For Affleck.
Yes. Right. See, at least Barbara had a small group of people who knew where she lived. This could have gone the way of...
If not for WikiLeaks.
No. This was aerial photographs of the coastline. She just said, hey, that's my house. Get it down. There wasn't like a, hey, everyone, Barbara Streisand's house.
Okay, so she wasn't...
Were there slaves and slave owners on her property at any point?
Probably because, were, actually.
There was a mall in her basement, so maybe.
Right. I mean, I don't know if you saw Yentl, but there's definitely some serfdom going on. Okay. I know that. There's people working in a field with bad hats.
I got it on Jew-ray.
Yeah. Papa, can you hear me?
See, now it looks bad. But look, let me just say this, because remember I did my, public broadcasting interview over in New York when I was doing my book tour about a year or so ago, and they refused to air it. People act like the right does this, but the left doesn't. The left does a version of this, too. Every news organization does a version of what's going to make us look good or what's going to make us look bad. Let's not talk about it. They all do it.
Yeah.
And the notion that we're not aware of that is insane. This stuff you heard about because of the WikiLeaks thing. But I'm sure this stuff goes around all the fucking time. Most people don't get to experience it firsthand. I did a fucking interview in New York, and all I did was bust them on Joe Coy. I literally did.
They tried to have a gotcha moment, and it didn't work. They never published the interview.
Do you know this?
You know,
what?
Well, here's what happened. And Gary... And get fucking Fondelier in here.
Will do.
This is nothing more than just an out-and-out lie. I was in New York doing book press, and I was making the rounds, as you're going to do, coming up very shortly. And it's a lot of like, well, you go cross town, you go do this guy's show and do that guy's show. What was the show? Where was I going? You were with me, right?
Yes, I was, but I'm not going to be much help right now. I got to look up exactly where that was.
All right. It was like PBS-y kind of public broadcasting, whatever.
Montessori school.
And I went in. The guy's name was Lair, I think. And I went in and did an interview with this guy. And it was kind of like, you know, they think of me as like O'Reilly's henchman or something, you know. So, you know, but when I came in...
Here to defend the dominant paradigm.
He's sitting...
You know him from his show, I Hate Black People.
Yeah.
Please welcome.
That's really what it is. So he's... He sits me down and he starts doing an interview with me and he starts getting into it, and it's a Brian Lehrer show, but I don't know what it's on. We'll figure out what it's on. But either way. So he sits down and does the interview. And it's a good long form, like half hour, 40 minute interview. And in the middle of the interview, he says, you know, your podcast's pretty controversial. You do a lot of, you say a lot of things that seem to upset many groups. And then I said, I do comedy. You know, what do you want from me? And then at some point he goes, well, we have a little snippet of your podcast. And I said, okay. Well, you mind if we'll just play a little snippet? And they like roll tape. and it's Joe Coy doing Bung Lu Su. Oh, but they didn't have their shit together enough to know. And so then he said, so you impersonating an Asian voice, do you think that's tasteful? Do you find that might be offensive?
So they didn't even listen to the context of
that's
the
great.
They didn't spend, if they'd listened to 3 minutes before and 3 minutes after. Oh, we have the clip they played?
Well, it went on for 22 minutes.
Oh, my God.
How do we have the clip they played? Oh, we can't have that. Anyway.
No, the clip of our show that they played.
No, I know, but how do we even know what that is? Because they never... All right, so here's what happened. So when it was done, I said, I appreciate what you were trying to do there, which is ambush me, but no, that was not me doing an Asian voice.
That was an Asian.
That was Joe Coy, who is Asian, doing an Asian voice. Yeah. And the guy sort of paused and went, well, I guess that makes it better. And I was like, by the way, thank you, Your Highness, for your permission for me to do comedy.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad you're able to let me have a livelihood in comedy. Thank you for granting me that.
Taking money from oil companies lately?
So I started to walk. I walked out. And I said, they just got burned.
Yeah.
They got burned trying to make me look like a racist, and they look like they didn't do their homework. And I just told them, look, you didn't do your homework. That's a guy named Joe Coy, and he's Asian, and that's his character. So we left, and I had this fucking sneaking suspicion. I was like, I want to know when this airs, because I'm worried about this. I wonder if they're not going to air it. And I drove across town to do like a half-hour interview. Well, like 2 weeks had gone by, and it hadn't aired. And I said to Matt, now you have to get on the mic. I said, hit him up and ask him, hit the publicist up. I want to know why my shit hasn't aired. And they said, we're in the middle of a pledge drive.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of a pledge drive.
Yep, that's exactly right.
It's been going since 1991.
That's right. We're saving it for after the pledge drive. And I'm like, okay, a little dubious and spurious. Like, the book's out now, but all right, you're sitting on it. Then, just because I'm the way I am, 2 months went by, and I said, I want to know if this fucking thing had come out. Yeah. And no, it had never aired. And I said to Matt, look online and see what other shows they've done with other authors that might be in my ilk or sound like it might be sort of on par with me, that we're done.
Racist homophobes. Yeah.
After Asian mine hating. Mine was done, but then had aired already.
Sure.
And Matt said, nothing here. Nope, just a whole bunch of names. Nobody I really recognize. And then I said, nobody, like a comedic name that you would recognize that would air? Oh, here's one. John Waters. I said, when was it taped? He said, it was taped yesterday. I said, when did it air? He said, today. That was 2 fucking months after mine was taped. So then we got back to him and said, how come John Waters did one 2 months after mine that is then aired the following day? Mine is never aired. You said it was because of a pledge drive. They then said, it didn't really come out the way we wanted it to come out.
It didn't meet our journalistic standards,
right,
is what they said.
But if you'd like to come in and try another, that'll be fine.
When we get our ambush tactics together better.
So there you go, baby. That's the life we're leading.
Horseshit, because if you had said something, anything you didn't like, and then gotten back to them, and like, guys, could you please not publish that? It didn't meet my interview standards for myself. They would never have.
Oh, if I just said, oh, no, women aren't funny. Are you kidding? That's a man's domain. And then went back and sobered up and went, oh, please. Hey, listen, I'm asking. I know you're in the middle of a pledge drive, but could you not air that? They'd be like, fuck you. The truth is for all.
Yeah. But I mean, don't they still stand behind their whatever they're saying about the Asians, you know, making fun of Asians? Why was it okay when I do the voice? Like, he should still stick his ground and go, well, that's still fucking offensive to Asian people.
Yes, if it was truly important to him, that's what he should have said.
If he truly supported that belief, then he should have been like, well, it doesn't matter if he's Asian. What he's doing on your show, Adam, is fucking offensive. And he didn't do that.
Right, he should have stuck by his
guns. Since it wasn't you, it's no longer
a problem.
That bad.
He decreed that it was slightly better.
It's Chris Rock and N-bombs, you know, that's basically what it is.
Those people are full of shit, is what it is.
Well, I would say so. So this is what...
By the way, I'd love to do the Bill Burr show. When I'm in New York, Bill, if you got any room...
I just hate black people.
Oh, my God, I do the funniest impressions. Hey, what's the matter you and whatnot? I'll just, you know, I start with Italy, and then I go through every country.
Smartest book in the world, I can't read that shit.
I go through Europe, and then later, no, I don't understand, you know.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
That's good.
I got a lot
Can't
of
wait for the audiobook.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was Chile, but all I can do Venezuela as well.
So now, now they look like assholes, and Ben Affleck sort of looks like an asswipe,
well,
too,
if
right?
he just not said anything, first of all, how is it your fault that your ancestors were
exactly.
slave owners? What possible? It's not like you willed it into the past, like you got in a Back to the Future car.
The only thing I can come up with is that since he called Bill Maher a racist on Bill Maher's show, yeah. he didn't want to be associated with anything racist.
But that doesn't make you racist!
I know, but in, that's short-sighted. The only thing I can come up with.
You guys remember a few months ago, Chelsea Handler was on one of these shows. I think it was Who Do You Think You Are? It was another genealogy show. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that her ancestors were, if not Nazis, then Nazi sympathizers.
Nice.
And it came out in the episode. But it was part of the episode, and no one talks about it now. Like, oh, Chelsea Handler is horrible. No, it's just it's part of the cast.
Your last name's Carolla, right?
Yes.
So the Italian.
Yes.
And Columbus was from Genoa.
Uh-oh.
And he committed genocide on the Western Hemisphere. Wow. So there you are.
Adam, thanks
for thinking about it, man.
By the way, how does it officially work to be a Nazi?
So many people.
Oh, my God.
How's it work to be a Nazi sympathizer? Like, I don't actually round up the Jews myself.
I'll look the other
but
way.
But I certainly do appreciate those hardworking young men and women who engage in that process.
You know how many heads he had to shave?
I'm going to send candy. I send candy.
I feel bad for the guys that have to round them onto those camel cars.
It's neo-Nazis. That's another one I love.
Yes.
Neo-Nazi. I'm not really a Nazi because I don't actually wear the uniform, but at home I keep it in a box and I look at it, I stroke it.
I think it comes out every now and then.
Right, on Hitler's birthday, which is today.
And I wonder if anyone ever calls him out, like, Greg, you've been calling yourself a neo-Nazi for like 22 years now.
You're not so neo.
You're not so neo anymore, kid.
All right, you know what? I'm going it. I'm going for it. I'm full in.
Yeah, full Hugo Boss, head to toe.
Affleck, you're right, can't go and call Maher that. I mean, of course he can,
yes.
but in his little circle.
He called Maher racist?
But no, here's,
he's
Maher
always banging
loves
on Muslims.
Black women.
I know, but he's always banging on
and
Muslims.
Asians. But here's the thing. In the world of sort of weird pretense and make-believe where I can be an actual racist for making a joke, or you can be a misogynist for making a joke. In their world where you don't actually have to participate in whatever the activity is in order to claim that mantle,
no.
then they can't have any of those words even associated with them.
Yep.
Well, I am a white person and therefore part of the oppressor race.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to apologize for everyone
Thank
when
you.
This book comes out.
Got that
I realize I said I was the smartest man in the world. I meant I was the smartest white entity
yep.
of the male gender.
When you said man, we did the color math. Go ahead.
Well, Pornhub is sending a brand new computer to a man who smashed his laptop to stop his mom from catching him watching porn, according to Metro UK. The teen, identified only as Denzel, made headlines when he tweeted a picture of a smashed up, actually torn in half laptop screen under the words, quote, "Mom was walking up the stairs and Pornhub decided to freeze. I had no other choice."
There's a guy named Denzel who lives in the UK.
Yes. How about this? There's another guy named Denzel. We found him.
Yeah. There's two Denzels.
Mm-hmm. So Pornhub saw this. They decided to help him out, buy him a new laptop, and sending a note that said, "We appreciate Denzel's loyalty."
Sticky note.
Well, this is clear sense of judgment in picking our site as a digital destination for some adult-oriented R&R.
That is sweet. That's a sweet story.
Right, but if they're sending him the down-low laptop, we're looking at a picture of it. It's covered in Pornhub stickers.
Yeah. And why shouldn't it be? They paid for it.
Not a way for mom not to catch on.
Mom can't read.
Shouldn't you have saved this for Mother's Day? To me, this is kind of sweet, you know, because there's a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everybody. I'll be here for probably another couple minutes.
That was nice.
All right.
So a man who was arrested for giving women butt injections filled with cement and fix-a-flat back in 2011 has a new victim that's come forward. Her name is Raji Naringasinghe, and she chose to have butt injections but put in her face. What? As you can probably imagine, she's being featured on the E! Network show Botched, where doctors try to fix things that have gone horribly awry. Raji is transgender, and transitioning can be extremely expensive, so she tried to save a few bucks with some fix-a-flat, some cement.
Yeah.
Christy watches
wrong.
The show, and it's hard to watch.
It's
transitioning is not, you know, save your money by going to, like, eating sushi before 6 o'clock.
Yeah, happy hour sushi.
But
right.
don't do it with the making the move from male to female
or
the other direction.
The
cut corners.
Yeah, you don't want to cut those corners.
Well, and she seems like a really upbeat nice, positive lady. Aww. She just made some bad choices. I think we have a clip. I think we're working on
she
it.
She put the butt juice on her face.
Is this guy in jail?
It's got to be tough, too, every time you yawn. Who farted?
But her face looks like claymation. Like you can push it and it sort of stays where it is. But she's nothing's going to break her stride. She's a happy lady.
When did the butt? I feel like the butt really. Like I know we kind of use the brothers and we follow them. You know what I mean? Like they set the trends.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I just,
shit!
I just we're looking at a picture of her. Yeah.
Oh,
I feel like while they only represent 10-12% of the population. Culturally, we kind of follow along with the brothers. Yeah. The music and stuff like that. Us, they're cooler than us. But the big ass thing.
Yeah.
You're not into it?
Mm,
I am.
Not as much as the world would have us believe we should be. Right.
Right.
A good ass is a great ass, but easy.
Wait a minute. Who is the guy who is injecting Fix-A-Flat and cement into the buttocks area of women? Like, I understand.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of cocaine and you're going to step on it with some, baking powder or some, any form of powder, anything, but not arsenic. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like it's
epoxy.
Bad. Feel like it's bad for business.
Yeah. I mean, this is your work.
You're
going to
get a lot
off.
Of repeat customers.
Do you want to see a snippet of this conversation?
At least, no. It hurts me. Yeah.
She's very positive.
That's all good.
Mm-hmm. Got to.
Mm-hmm. So there are. See, I don't know who's had the ass work and who hasn't.
Well, they say Nicki Minaj. They say Kim Kardashian. Those are the two big ones.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. But
I had a reduction.
Do you feel... See, here's what I feel about the ass. I feel...
Is that really the way you want to start that sentence?
Yes. Here's how I feel about the ass. As a father, I have a daughter. I would not want her to have a prodigious ass because I feel like the gents that it attracts are not the kind of guys that you want dating your daughter.
Yes.
I feel like this salt of the earth kind of dudes. If your one main thing like is the chick's ass, then you're probably looking past some other attributes that she may possess.
Winning personality.
I was going to say.
Things like
sparkling repartee.
Yes, that kind
of What do you mean
stuff.
By gents, though?
Gents. They're guys.
Oh,
I see. You want to go. You'd like to turn
this
into a racial thing.
Asian guys
like
you? I know you're trying to sell your book, but I'm just saying gents as in,
there's
a particular gents
brother,
out there that like big asses, Mr. Carolla.
They're brothers, especially.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of white dudes that like the big ass. Yeah. There are almost no Asians. But I like the big ass.
Sir Mix-a-Lot likes big asses.
Jews
cannot lie.
Yeah,
the Jews don't like big asses, but they don't have a choice.
Yeah,
they get them anyway. Tough shit. It's attached to the big chick, and you'll be pee-whipped for the next 41 years. So, maybe we should do like an ass exchange program with the Jews and the brothers.
Yeah.
Like, they'd be like, I'll be the Jewish guy going, my wife has a huge tuchus. And you're the black guy going,
what the fuck is a tuchus? Motherfucker, I want an ass.
Oh, it's an ass. It's huge.
Then say ass.
Oh, would you like some?
Yeah.
All right, you can take it.
Stop calling it tuchus, motherfucker.
I'd like to find a spindly blonde. I want to find someone who looks like Uma Thurman.
We are building bridges.
I want to see a black guy go, man, I hit that tuchus. I smacked the shit out of that tuchus.
I'm saying if that's number one on your attributes chart, I don't want you dating my daughter. That's all I'm saying.
I love asses.
And you cannot lie?
Yeah, I think the ass is the most beautiful
thing. I cannot deny.
Mm-hmm.
I hate a flat ass on a woman. It is the most unattractive thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, flat.
I'll take no chest big ass, then big chest. Wait, what did I just say?
No.
Wow. No, you know what I mean? Like, big chest, no ass.
You got all confused.
Like, I can't.
Well, it's been fun, Joe.
I had a long conversation about this.
She's got everything.
On the set, we started to catch a contract. Started talking about feet. The guys who are into feet, the foot fetish, and the guys are really obsessed with feet and like feet. And then somebody said, yeah, but if a woman has grody feet. And I was like, I never even looked down. And they're like, yeah, but you want her to have nice feet. And I was like, no, I don't want her to have I don't really even look down past the knee. And they're like, but good feet. And I said, listen, I look at feet as nothing more than a stand for the tits. They're just a tit stand. That's all. So the tits don't fall hit the ground. That's all.
So you don't care if the woman's foot is
don't care.
Mangled
don't,
up.
Don't know.
I can't look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
I was gonna
I broke
say
up with a girl that had ugly feet.
I did too. I broke up with a guy because he had half a toe.
Fuck this girl. Her big toe was turned over. She had to have surgery. Like
mm-hmm. he was the nine
after
and
we
half.
Broke up. She had surgery because her toe was
and
completely turned. completely turned over.
You
it
know
was
what, Joe?
So far, I could not look at her fucking foot.
I was going to say...
The toenail was touching the ground.
I was going to say, can't hang, but then I realized we need to hang, because we can go out clubbing,
yeah.
Pardon the pun,
yeah.
And I'll find the chick with the big tits and the grody feet, and you'll be like, ugh!
Yeah.
And no. Then I'll find the chick with the beautiful feet and the huge ass and the A cup, and I'll go, meet my friend Joe. No. It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
We won't be fighting over the same skinny blonde.
Not at all.
With the ugly feet.
Nope.
Okay. All right.
Ugly
We're going
feet.
Out.
Ugh.
We're going out. All right. What else we got?
Well, the Oregon Environmental Quality Commission recently approved the use of sewage water to brew beer, according to Time. Brewed via a purification process developed by Oregon's Clean Water Services, the beer would only be served at tasting events at this point hosted by its manufacturer. But, yes, sewage water brewed beer. You can grab that up in Oregon.
Hey, listen, Oregon, you guys have those bubbler fountains, drinking fountains, mm-hmm. that just go 24/7.
Oh, they don't turn off?
They never turn off.
Oh.
They just bubble in Portland. Somebody bequeathed it or something to the city, some rich person mm-hmm. or something said, I think they just run. I mean, I think at Sunday at 4 a.m., those things are just running.
Hmm.
And the water's just going back down the river and
Seems
into the sea. Yeah, so Portland, you can't fucking do shit. You got bubblers. I mean, what I'm saying is if I'm a brewmaster in Portland, and you're talking about, hey, just put that shit water through the sock so you can use it in your IPA, I'd be like, hey, I have a wonderful source where we can find some water. It's the fucking millions of gallons that are going down the fucking drain every fucking day. Every day, those things just bubble. Have you seen that?
I've never seen anything like that.
I have, yes. But, you know, Oregon's swimming in water. It's a very green place.
Evidently. Like, look, I understand when I move the brewery to Nevada yeah. or some Texas border town.
Nogales.
Maybe even yeah. California. When we move out to Riverside, California, then let's talk about this shit through a tube sock water.
But not next to Puget Sound.
Not next to Puget Sound. Look at this shit. It's just going. Gary, is that... We've talked about this before. It just goes 24/7.
Yes.
Some rich person who loved hobos and hated water, just said, look, when I die, I'm not sending my money to cure cancer or AIDS or anything else.
Yeah.
It's all going to these things running 24/7. And if somebody like sheepishly raised their hand and said, yeah, but what if we just put one of those handles on it? You know, the spring-loaded ones, like at the park when you're a kid. You could just turn it, drink some water, and then let it go. It'll spring back and shut off. No.
No, you're fired.
I want this shit
that.
Running into the sewer 24/7. To 1912?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Simon.
100 plus
Benson.
Years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. $10,000.
Yeah. It's a lot
but
of
where
water.
Is the water going? All right. Anyway, the bubblers.
Into the bubblers. Sewer. I've
never
the
heard
bubblers.
Of a bubbler before.
Oh, yeah. They're running.
And I'm
they
from
never...
that area. Originally.
Yeah. You know, I just realized my kid will never experience that super satisfying handle, that sort of cast aluminum handle. On, no, yeah, but everything's bottled and filtered and, you know, camel bags. But remember, you'd put your head in, you'd turn it.
Yeah,
you could turn it forward or backwards.
Yeah.
Yep.
You
and then
don't have those
when you're
fountains?
Done, just let it go and it snap back into place.
Yep. So I guess drinking out of the garden hose is out of the question.
Yeah. No, I'm sure they have them. It's just everything is a bottle.
And then there's the foretop, if you remember, where if you got at the end and turned it real hard and then let it go, the water would squirt out on everybody else.
Right.
Which was hilarious.
They will find... Very soon that the shit that comes from the municipal whatever is much healthier than the shit that was
water.
In, well, the bottle water that was in the clear bottle that was rolling around the back of the car in the sun, leaching out all the whatever that was in the plastic and then having the kid consume that. But that'll be, Adam's right, 30 years from now.
Right.
Yes, Gary has his hand up.
In 2000, they set timers up that will turn it off during low usage times, like the middle of the night. And then in 2005, they installed restricting devices so that it wouldn't use as much water. It says today the bubblers now use less than a tenth of 1% of Portland's daily water demand.
Well, or,
it only took 100 years to get there.
They could use zero.
Yeah.
By the way, using, you know, hey, it only uses one-tenth of 1%. Well, it's like saying the gross domestic product. We only spend like one quarter of one whatever on military. There's still billions and billions and billions. This is, over the last 100-plus years, there's been billions of gallons just fucking going away. Mm-hmm. Water that's been treated.
In the ground.
And pumped and everything else.
Mm-hmm. But it's all even now because you can drink shit beer.
Just in Portland, how about installing a handle? Do you think that would be a real slap in the face to the person?
It could all be solved with just four fucking handles.
Right.
Four.
Right.
Or one big one where the source is, and then they could just, you know, whenever anyone gets near the zone, they...
Here's what I would sound like at that meeting.
Well, give a homeless guy a job.
I will fucking be the guy at that meeting, and you guys be everyone else who's suggesting recapturing the water or putting timers on the water or putting... Look, I think we need to start saving some of this water that's literally going down the drain, people.
How dare you besmirch the memory of Dr. Whoever who gave it to us and... 1912.
Well, what if we just put a handle on it?
You'd be kicking dirt on top of the man's grave.
They apparently
Mr. Bubbler will be rolling in his grave.
I move that Mr. Crowell be forcibly moved from this meeting.
How dare he talk?
I have a question. When you go home,
burn him.
He's a witch.
You have a shower at home, right? Hold on.
Representative from Dallas.
Listen to my logic.
I have logic.
Does everyone have...
You're embarrassed.
Everyone has a home. Everyone
Fuck
has a home,
you,
right? You have a home.
Fuck
okay.
You.
Does it have a shower in it?
Sure.
Is it running now? Is it running now? Is it running when you're asleep?
Let the man talk.
Let him talk. When you were in Maui last summer, did you turn on the sink and the shower and then leave to Maui? Does it have a handle?
Shut up!
Barabbas.
It's got a handle.
Barabbas.
Let's adjourn this meeting so we can go home and read Greg Proops' book.
All right. Where were we? Sorry.
That was good.
Thank you.
I saw that whole scene.
Now, where were we? Gary, what the fuck were you saying? It didn't work? They tried to do it?
Yeah, apparently they tried to install those devices, but they were stolen.
That answers your question right
there.
Faith
in humanity restored.
I would still
only in Portland.
I'm
making
handles.
An art project, man, and I need those handles.
Holy shit, those are the handles I need.
What if somebody stole the stop sign at the intersection? Would you just go stop sign free, or would you replace it with another way that had a bolt that couldn't be tampered with?
Think about it. Those signs are out there all day. They could really only be out when people were driving by.
All right.
You could have a guy run out, stick the sign out, here comes a car, whatnot.
What else we got, Gina?
Well, Mr. Proops, you are from the Bay Area, correct?
I am.
So this is for
that
you.
That is correct, Gina Grad.
First, there was the Cronut, and now a San Francisco bakery has created the Cruffin. Mm-hmm. This is basically a muffin with croissant dough, but a lot of people are going insane over it. Ever since the Cruffin was introduced, there have been lines around the block at Mr. Holmes' Bakehouse, and burglars even broke in and stole the recipe.
Yes, I read about that.
Yeah, the Cruffin takes 3 days to make. It's $4.50 a pop. The fillings are caramel, strawberry, milkshake, or fluffernutter, among other flavors.
I like the Steven Tyler flavor, because he wasn't he the one who said you ain't seen nothing? Mm-hmm. Until you're down on a Cruffin. You're sure to be a change in your ways.
You know what I feel like we're doing with our food? Speaking of Steven Tyler, I feel like we're doing... I'm going to tie this in. I feel like we're doing what rock stars did in the 70s with their
with
roadie bitches, you know, with the chicks they were banging on the road.
Them?
Like it's like first they started with, hey, wouldn't it be cool to bang a couple of cute local 19-year-olds? Like, yeah. Then it got into, well, what about if I had three of them and I was fucking all three of them? And then it got to, what if one of them put a light bulb up their ass while I was fucking her? Yeah. And then you were hanging on a fucking chandelier, jacking off into a ceiling fan, and the jizz was flying everywhere. It's like, then, well, what if I was doing a coke rail off her pussy lips while I was balls deep in her, while her mom was filming us? Like, we're just spinning
it
out.
Escalates.
Like, yeah, like we were covered. We had pizza. Yeah. Now we've wrapped the pizza with bacon. We literally have gone. We've circumnavigated the pizza with 9 linear feet of bacon. Like, we had pizza. It was fine. Don't you get the feeling that we're going all right, we have to make life better.
Yeah.
And, yeah, sure, there's croissant, but your grandfather had one of those. We need our own shit.
Never put it in a muffin tin.
Right. We got to deep fry a Snickers bar and roll it in bacon and hazelnut. Like, we're going insane. Mm. But it's all, it's not that anything tastes any better.
No.
You didn't make the pizza any better, and you didn't make the croissant any better. It's just somehow, it's for us, and we're jacking it up.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
I sort of blame Tony Hawk for doing that 900.
It all started there.
it all started there.
By the way,
but it all started there. Everyone just went, "We got to keep
next
going."
Thing it's triple bacon, bacon.
But yeah, that said, if somebody brought a fresh, hot batch of Cruffins in, would you try one? And would you be open to loving it?
I would try one, but I tried a jelly donut when I used to live in Philadelphia in, you know, 1973. There was a place, a little bakery on the corner, and it made jelly donuts. And my dad and I, once in a blue moon, would just walk down to that corner and get a little bag with the powdered sugar floating on top of it and stuff. And I bit into that thing, and a little bit would squirt out and drip down your chin. Nothing was better. Mm-hmm. You can go lateral. You can't do better. You take a piece of apple pie and you warm it up and you put a nice scoop of French vanilla ice cream on top, and it starts to melt and it starts to bleed in with like sort of the apple drippings. You can go lateral. You cannot go better.
So better.
Yeah. There's no better.
You haven't had my puffin, where I mix pie with muffin, and you have to stand on your head to eat it. It's pretty weird.
Fucking love that bird.
The first two times, it's based on a seagoing bird from Iceland. Initially, that's where I got the idea. I thought, I'm eating bread, but I really like pie. And then what if it was in the shape of a nautical bird? And,
I'm just saying, yes, you're not going to do better.
Have you had English puffin? Those are really
English
good.
Puffins.
Like, English pie mixed with,
that's a good one.
With muffin.
The egg McPuffin is good. Too. Egg McDonald's got a hold of it. Holy
shit. Now they're going breakfast puffin all day. So you can go puffin, you can go cormorant, whatever, you know, albatross.
Funny, and it's funny you say that about the apple pie, because talk about trying to go insane with the melted cheese, which I've never actually had.
Cheese is not my favorite. It's just in
French
pictures.
Vanilla. I'm a little more traditional like Adam. Maybe some cinnamon if you're getting kooky.
Oh,
not
wow,
going to do better than this.
Nope.
All right. It's all been done.
It's a chocolate shake inside a cow's head, inside a lava cone, inside a rocket ship, while you go to Mars inside Oprah's uterus.
Yeah, really.
It's a Scrambo 9000.
My son's going to be
You get a scramble.
My son, like, I'm going to be. He's first off,
everyone gets a scramble. Come on, who wants a scramble?
Everyone's. I feel
like this is Oprah's uterus. Guess what, motherfuckers? You get a scramble. You get a scramble. Everybody gets a motherfucking scramble. Shit.
I feel like my son's pleasure centers will be burnt out.
Right.
And he's going to be explaining that he was eating turducken that was put inside one of these puffin croissants. And his buddy's going to go, and were you being blown?
Yeah.
And he's going to go, no, I'm just eating.
No,
wow.
He's going to say, I don't remember.
Yeah, I
could have been.
It could have been. I don't know.
I was in Arizona last year, and at the ballpark there, they've got, I didn't go, but I saw it on TV. I was watching it. I was drinking. It's funner to go to ball games when you're in a bar. And they had a hot dog that was like a $25 hot dog, but it had like all this jazz on it. Like it was basically a roast beef with a hot dog and bacon and chili.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
And like it was so unwieldy that you can't eat it. Like the convenience of a hot dog is that you can hold it in one hand and gesticulate with the other
hand
and flip off the other team and drink beer with it. And
you can still maneuver.
It's a food for a fighter.
Like a taco or something.
No,
it's
you're
a perfectly
right.
designed piece of food, right? Like a taco. And then we've made a hot dog that you have to balance on your knees while the fat person crosses in front of you.
And
the balls are coming at you.
Yeah.
You're the same. Like, you can traditionally get a beautiful piece of New York-style thin crust pizza, take it out, taco it in half, eat it, and your pimp hand will still be strong.
Right. Oh, yeah. You can go,
yeah. If someone's giving a stink eye or one of your bitches getting out of line, you can eat that pizza. Now it's covered with bacon. It's 3 feet thick. It's stuffed with jerky.
They're spilling.
You need a fucking... You have someone with a snow shovel has to feed it to you.
Yeah.
You become like a caged animal.
And speaking of that, in Arizona, did you know that the Minnesota Twins, their Bloody Mary they have now, the $19 Bloody Mary?
No, I haven't seen that.
It has...
it's so much better than real the $8
blood
Bloody
Mary. It's an actual... Hey, Mary, get over here and bleed in this cup! Actual... And sell your shit for $19. It'll fuck anemic. You up.
Get off my ass.
Exactly an actual spent tampon is suspended in it.
It's that time of the month, gal!
We were having a good time Bloody Mary? On the show.
Yeah, a little placenta.
We call that was the drinkless stop.
Oh, man, that's a heavy flow. I need more cup.
What's happening in the night?
It's also cheese, olive, celery, a beef stick, a pickle, and a huge slice of pepperoni pizza in the
it?
Drink.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. See, that this that really
and that's is. All in her vagina?
There's yeah, no man. More. There's no more cake. It's been taken.
You know what?
A cake taker.
You know what?
You don't need pizza in that Bloody Mary.
You know what? You know what we're doing? All we're doing is trying to piss off the terrorists at this point. Like, you know what's in our Bloody Mary? Goat milk and tears. Yeah. That is all. Right. That is all. So it's goat milk. It's 50% goat milk and fear and tears. That is all.
Yeah.
And one rusty nail. That is all. That is it. Oh, yeah? You know what we got? And part of a sandal. Okay. We got pepperoni pizza. Uh-huh.
Beef jerky.
Beef jerky. A freshly pierced hymen.
Yeah. And he's kettle one. Twizzler.
Yes.
Right.
I'm so sick of the croissant. It's the only thing the French ever made that anyone really likes.
And when you get them there, they're just perfect.
And,
yet,
and Americans love to like just incorporate French cuisine with our shit. We have the best food.
Yes.
Stop fucking up our muffins and stop fucking up our donuts.
Yes.
I had a croissant, one of those cronuts, and I bit it. I bought it at the whatever this bakery was in the Bay, and I bought it because everyone kept talking about it.
Right.
And I bit into it, and I go, what the fuck is this?
Right.
Where's my donut?
It's not a donut. It's not
can
a croissant.
I say,
it's not a donut. It's just a fucking croissant smothered in glaze
can
shit.
Can I blow everyone's mind for a second?
Yes, please.
I'm going to do a 180.
Here we go.
I've been thinking. I was thinking about the Mediterranean, kind of Middle Eastern food. I was thinking about how much I love baklava.
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
All right. How about this?
Oh, boy.
Bok choro.
Oh!
An 18-inch piece of baklava.
Yes.
You fucking eat it with two hands like you're going down on Ron Jeremy. Wow. Yeah. Like, I love baklava, but it's too fucking short.
Too short.
It's too short.
Yeah.
Just a full fist of baklava.
Wow. Yeah.
Just your fist is taking up the first 6 inches, and another 9 inches just wagging in
I
your
did
face.
Not see that going that
bok choro.
Smothered in
that, I'd be down
sugar.
With that. Oh, yeah.
It's washed down with some mangria.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good note to go out on. Let's bring it home.
Bok choro. You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
The Hitlers were nice. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
And that was Greg Proops hanging out with the Gang Plus, Joe Coy, back in 2015. And that will do it for today's episode of Corolla Classics. Thanks again to everybody for tuning in and writing in and being a part of the show. We really, really appreciate it. Please share it with a friend and spread the good word. And we'll see you next weekend. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Follow and get it on.
Today's episode is brought to you by Geico, because Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? And we all know the answer. Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with the homeowner's, condo, or renter's coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. In fact, how easy is it, Gio?
Well, Chris, it's Geico easy.
It certainly is. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.